In the early 2000s, sociologist Christian Smith went around the nation doing a survey. It was called the National Survey for Youth and Religion. And he interviewed hundreds of youth about their faith. In particular, he asked questions about American Christianity and what their beliefs are about Christianity. And like every good sociologist, he wrote a book and coined a term. There'll be a test. The term is moralistic therapeutic deism. This very large term has influenced the ways in which the Christian church has written curriculum for years, and there's been a lot of people talking about this particular beliefs. But I want to talk about one thing he found this morning. When he talked to youth about their Christian ethics, he discovered that the majority of them think that the Christian message is that God wants us to be nice, good, and fair to one another. And that this is what the Bible teaches us and world religions. Nice, good, and fair. That this is what it means to live a Christian life in the world. Now, I don't think it's a bad idea to be good to one another. But if that is all that we have to offer the world as Christians, we are missing out on the fullness of what it means to live sealed by the Holy Spirit in the community of God. What I think Paul is talking about here in this epistle to the Ephesians, and what I think Jesus was talking about when he said things like justice, compassion, and forgiveness, is a total social transformation that hinges on and works with our own physical transformation. Transformation of our minds, our mouths, our hearts, and our hands. I was talking about this transformation in the Tuesday Bible study, and one of the regular attenders said, "That reminds me, I grew up Catholic, and before we read the gospel, I would cross my forehead and my mouth and my chest. And I never quite understood what it meant until one day the priest said, 'In the reading of the gospel, may we be open and transformed in our minds, our mouths, and our hearts.'" This brought about a whole new meaning for her about what the gospel and what scripture had to offer her. Because again, I really believe Paul has a teaching for us this morning. I think he starts with our minds, with a teaching about anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. This we've translated into before you go to bed, don't be mad at your spouse or your life partner. Or, you know, just don't go to bed angry. But there's more to it than that. I was watching a TED Talk this week by a peace builder, Celia Elworthy, and she was talking about her nonviolent resolution work in warring countries. And she had a lot of teaching about anger. She says that wherever there is injustice in the world, anger is a natural response. Paul even says, when you are angry. He doesn't say, don't be angry. He says, when you're angry. It's okay to be angry. And anger is usually a response to injustice. It can also be a response of unresolved feelings within ourselves. But when we feel wronged, we get angry. And Cecilia says, anger is like gasoline. When you spray it around, you can create an inferno. But if you put it in a car, you can go for miles. But what happens when you're going for miles and your head hits the pillow and it doesn't stop spinning about all the work that you have yet to do, or that thing that happened to you that day, or maybe the thing that you said, you just can't stop ruminating over? Paul is talking about a peace of mind that we can receive when the sun goes down. It's like the night prayer in the New Zealand Book of Worship for Compline. A moment of that says, "Lord, it is night. What's done is done. What has not been done has not been done. Let it be." We have the opportunity to live into peace. God also wants to transform our lips. In the Message version, this is translated as, "Every word is a gift." We've translated that into, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But again, there's fullness to this scripture passage of how we can use our words to heal. A few months ago, I went on a retreat with the Center for Courage and Renewal. This is held for young clergy, and it's started by Pastor and Professor Parker Palmer. He's a Quaker teacher. And when I entered the retreat, we all sat in a circle and talked about the touchstones of how we would operate with one another in our time together. And one of the touchstones has transformed my life and really given me courage and renewal. It is turn to wonder. And they explain it this way. When you feel judgmental or defensive, ask yourself, turn to wonder. What might have brought this other person to that belief? What might she be feeling? And what might my reaction to them teach me about myself? It's this last question that's really transformed me, because I've been able to see where I might have been triggered. Past experiences or pains might have been triggered in me wanting to respond in defense, or where a value of mine has been brushed up against. And the first two questions allow for me to meet the other person where they are with unconditional love. What might they be feeling? What might have brought them to that belief? Notice it doesn't say, I'm going to assume about their life how they might have come up with that crazy belief. But what about them? It's turning to wonder about another person and meeting them where you are, and likewise. God wants to transform our hearts. When Paul talks about being tender-hearted here, the word that grabbed a hold of me was forgiveness. In our culture, we talk about forgiving and forgetting. But that makes me viscerally angry in many ways, because it denies the deep tension that we are in when we need to forgive. Miroslav Volf, who is a professor at Yale Divinity School and a great theologian, has spent his life work writing books and teaching on forgiveness. He's learned about forgiveness in ways that none of us want to have through deep experience. And after one of his lectures of forgiveness, his mentor, Jürgen Moltmann, who's another famous theologian, stood up and he asked the question, can you embrace the Chetnik? You see, Wolf grew up in Slovenia, and his country in the early 1990s was demolished and ransacked by the Chetnik rebel group. And Wolf knew immediately what he would respond with, but it took him a long time to get it out. And he said, no, I cannot. But as a Christian, I believe that I should be able to do so. You see, Wolf's work positions itself in this deep tension of the pain and suffering that perpetrators cause, and also his belief as a Christian, a core value and understanding that Christ has come to this earth, died, and resurrected to offer salvation and forgiveness. We are forgiven so that we might forgive. And he writes about this tension of how hard it can be sometimes. God also wants to transform our hands. I talked with the kids about games that we play with our hands. But the most important part is that we might be able to share our honest work with the needy. Our hands are supposed to share. It is a social ethic, social transformation of what it means to be members of one another. A story that beautifully and perfectly represents what it means to be members of one another happened this week in our very own community. As many of you know, Rachel Hornsby received a successful kidney transplant this week, and she's currently home healing with her family. The surgery was originally scheduled for the end of the week. She and her cousin were part of a matching program where, even though her cousin didn't match her kidney, she would be put in a database so that they might match with another need and donor. And that had happened at the end of this week. And yet the Hornsbys received a call from Vanderbilt on Sunday evening that said, a family in their grief have decided to donate the organs of their son, and his kidney matches yours. And so she went into surgery at the beginning of the week. When her cousin saw the joy and the healing that was offered to Rachel and herself in this family, knowing that she did not have to give her kidney any longer as a part of the match program, still decided to fly to Nashville in order to donate her kidney to a stranger. This is what it means to be part of one another. So this week, when you're brushing your teeth, getting ready for bed, or maybe your head hits the pillow, maybe you cross your forehead, remembering that God offers us peace and rest. Or maybe when you go into a meeting room and you sit down at the table, you cross your lips and you think about what the other people around the table might be feeling. Or maybe this week when you feel the deep pain and suffering of something that was done to you, you cross your heart. Or maybe you hold your heart and you feel the pain of it, while also finding glimpses of the forgiveness that's available to us and to us all through grace in Jesus Christ. Because grace is not measured by what it excludes, but it's measured by what it embraces. Thanks be to God. Amen.